could stand, please. Chart. I have a Bible that has it preset, but these last couple of weeks we've been reading through the book of Revelation, and I was just inspired by that picture in chapter 4 about the four beasts and the elders being before the Lord, and just the awesome picture that paints.
Yes.
About what it will, you know, what the presence of the Lord looks like. And I think it occurred to me while we were praying this morning, a lot of us are fighting sickness, and when we do, we have a lethargy. You know, it's just normal, but we have a lethargy that just sometimes you have to press through that to get to worship, because I don't ever want to undervalue,
yes,
the awesomeness,
yes,
of God,
yes,
and take for granted,
yes,
what He is, who
Hallelujah.
He is. Praise the Lord. I praise you this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. You are awesome in this place. We need to press through and and just get beyond ourselves into.
Struggles and good to be back into the house of God and to be in His presence. Sometimes we struggle for the things we need, as the song said, and in His presence we find these things. Amen. Amen. We have a lesson today that I believe can really help you today if you'll let God bless your heart and open up your heart today. Let's turn to the lesson we have today, and I call it the road to success. Amen. To be successful in God, amen, there are certain things that we must understand and learn in order to be a success in worshiping God. Now, if I ask anybody to raise their hands that's not been baptized in Jesus' name here this morning, everybody. You know, we come to God, that's the way we come to God, in repentance, baptism in His name, and infilling of the Holy Ghost, and after that. Now, that's why I'm up here, after that. We teach the ways of God. Now, I don't mess with your salvation. All the time that I've ever been before God, I've never said you're going to hell. That's left between you and God. But I do teach you what the Word of God says and what He wants us to do. And that's the thing that we should desire. Anyway, let's turn to Joshua 1 and 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalms 19, verse 1 through 7. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and His circuit into the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heart thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We pray, God, that You'll bless this word today and bless me, Lord, and let me stay in the word. And God, let it be all about You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we have a scripture here, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. At one time, that's all man had. But you know, I believe at the very beginning, from when Adam and Eve was cast out of the garden, I believe Adam had the perfect word of God. I believe he knew who God was, and I believe he knew that God, there was but one God. But man always drifts away from the word of God, and as we go on down this time, we find that God flooded the whole world because of man's refusal to follow God's plan. But God had a plan, and that plan was going to be carried out. And I believe that's the reason God had to destroy the world from the beginning, because the whole world would have been corrupted. It would have been nothing for God to bring Jesus Christ through. And I believe God, he has His plan, but man is going to go a different way. You know, we're kind of prone to rebellion, if you will. We kind of want to be self-serving. We want to serve ourselves. And when we come to this time in the lesson here, amen, I believe that when Noah, after the flood, I believe they came back out and began to repopulate the earth. And then I believe there was a man called Nimrod that was a mighty man, a mighty hunter before God. It didn't say he was a mighty man of God. He said he was a mighty hunter before God. And I believe that in his self-serving attitude, amen, he became the father of paganism. Amen, he built this tower of Baal, and so high that he could reach get closer to his gods. You know, you don't have to I don't have to come up even an inch to get closer to God. He's right here. Amen, he's in the midst of us. Amen, and he'll work with those who will work with him. But I look out before me, I see everybody here is of the faith. But God has he has something further he wants you to do. He wants you to come up a little higher in your worship of Him. Now, I'm not touching your salvation. Amen. But I am telling you that God wants you to come up a little further, because He says to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that back in that day, Nimrod rose up, being all full of himself as he was, being self-serving. He made up his own things about what he thought was God and what wasn't God. And you can't tell me that this wasn't sent down from from Adam, all the way down and Noah, and then from Noah into Nimrod. Noah knew who God was. He talked with God. God talked with him. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Every evening he walked in the garden with them. They knew. So somehow this thing got all turned around because of man, and they're wanting to do things their way. Amen. That's in us. And that's good in a lot of ways, because it makes us go out and strive for a living to be something, because we have to support our families. The Bible says if you don't do that, you're worse than an infidel. But we have to keep all of these things under where God wants us to be. And that's where we're at today. That's why you're here today. You're not here to be saved again. Amen. I believe God saves you one time. Amen. Just as Moses smote that rock. Amen. It wasn't that the second time. It wasn't that he smote it twice. It was that he smote it at all. That rock was to be smitten one time. Now you have one salvation. Amen. God knows when you come down to this altar if you mean business or not. And I'm not going to tell you He didn't save you when He did. That's between you and Him. Amen. But I will tell you this, that if you are saved and His Holy Ghost dwells within you, amen, you're going to begin to walk in newness of life, like the Bible says. So when someone gets up here and teaches you, he's teaching you, amen, to help you, not to save you. I'm not trying to save you. You're already saved, aren't you? Okay. But anyway, Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and His firmament showeth His handiwork. I remember, I can go all the way back to the days when Russia was the first one to make it up into space. And there's a few of you, some of you out there with me, you know. And when they got up there, they said, they kind of boasted, and they said, we don't see no God up here nowhere. The blind lead the blind. God was all around him. God is in the firmament. God's in the very air we breathe. You don't believe in God, stop breathing His air. Amen. Because He is life. This is God. And He has His handiwork, that where man has no excuse. Nimrod went his own way, but he has no excuse, because he's seen the same things that Noah and all the rest of them saw. And I went back into some history of Abraham and Noah and all those. And you know that genealogy that we pass over all the time and we don't read? You know that's got a lot of information in it. It will tell you that Noah and Shem and Nimrod was alive in Abraham's time. So Abraham, they was fighting against, preaching against this new doctrine that Nimrod had brought up. But you know, man was going to have it their way. But you know, God let you believe a lie and be damned? He will. The Bible says He will. If you just want to continue believing a lie, He'll let you believe it. And in Romans 1 and chapter 1, you'll find that. Romans 1 and 20, it says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, you're not born an atheist. You learn to be one. You're not born into paganism. You learn that. But we all have a portion of faith, enough faith that we can come to God and be saved. Amen. So we have that. That's natural within us. Man, everywhere you want to look, man's worshiping something. We're prone to worship. But I want to worship in spirit and in truth, because that's the only thing that's going to do you any good. Amen. You think if a blind person was a suddenly sea. And he opened his eyes and he seen all the firmaments, all these things around him. I think the first thought will be in his mind, God is a mighty God. But, you know, we see these things every day. We wake up to them. We go to bed with them. Pretty soon we become so familiar with them, we don't give God no glory for them anymore. We just expect them to be there. But God put those things there. And if you can't see God in that, we must believe that he is first. You must believe that he is. Amen, because nothing else will be added into you. You've got to get across that. And Nimrod came in a day, and he brought up paganism to worship these things, the creature rather than the creator. He's to worship the creation of God. He worked as a sun god, moon god, the god of the stars, the god of the rain, the god of the Nile River, and all of those kind of gods. They were still prevalent in Pharaoh's day. He was still doing the same thing. Amen, but there's always been a word. Now today, we not only have these things, but we have the word of God. And you know, man still as into idolatry. We may think we're not in idolatry today. No, we're too sophisticated to carve us a little god out and bow down to it. Amen. But we bow down to the things of this world all the time. Amen. Now, I'm not going to name all the things because some of them get offensive. I'll let him do that. But one thing I will do, the things that God says, and one of the gods that we got to be worried about is the God of Mammon. Make all the money you want to, but don't let it be your God. Amen. Put God before all the things that you do. Because all the way back in the days of Nimrod, they went into paganism. And then all the way into today in the New Testament there, we see it went right on into the New Testament. And you think it ain't here today? If you put anything before God, it's idolatry. Amen. 19 and 1, it tells us, the heavens declare his handiwork. And that should be enough for any atheist. It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in God. Where is proof of atheist? There's nothing to say that God doesn't exist, and there's everything to say that he does. So I believe in him. But Abraham, he grew up in that atmosphere. But Abraham wasn't an idolater, never was. Amen. If you read back into some of the history, I read back where Abraham actually spent 19 years with Noah and Shem. Yes, he spent that much time. He knew what was going on. It wasn't that all of a sudden he come out of paganism. Oh, no, I believe in one God now. He always did. And that's the reason God called him out from among the paganism to let them believe a lie and be damned if that's what they wanted. And he made of him a people from Abraham. He made of him a nation that would bless all nations. And we're blessed because of Abraham and the work that he did. You can say, well, he did with Noah and he did with Shem and he did in the times of Nimrod. And up until this day, we can thank those men, amen, for our salvation today. Amen. But Abraham, he grew up into those things. But you know what? He resisted the devil. And the devil had to flee from him. And that's what the Bible tells us today. Resist the devil. What? All of these idols we have around us. All of these idolatry things that's going to take the place of God in our lives and in our heart. We may not have them showing, but you have idolatries in your heart. And I'll show you if I get to it. Time passes so fast that most of the time I don't get to it. But I hope I can get to it. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9. It says, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all his powers and signs and lying wonders. Amen. We've seen that a little bit on this thing they had about the end time. Amen. This is kind of talking about that. If you think that things are rough now to get you from keep you from serving God, you need to listen to this. It's going to get a lot worse, and this applies today too also. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, I don't know, some people believe in pre-trib, some believe in post-trib. Amen. But here says the truth that they might be saved. It kind of hints that we may be going right into it. But don't worry about that. Do what God wants you to do today. You won't have to worry about that. God will take care of all things. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We have the Word of God. We have the all of God's handiwork that we can see that confesses Him, that says, this is God. There could be but one God to do this. If you had multiples of God, you'd have the firmaments all battling against each other. That's one thing that the world has never figured out how to do, is get along with each other. And if there was more than one God, they'd all be fighting each other too. But man has made in himself their own God. That's what Nimrod did. When you change the Word of God into a lie, what you have done, you said you know more than God knows. And how are you going to know what God knows unless you get into the Word of God and find out what God says? Now, coming to church, it helps a whole lot, but that's not going to be everything. We have the written Word of God. Thanks to Abraham and those that defended the Word of God, it wasn't all over the world. They kind of stopped it and brought in truth that is in God's Word. Now, the Bible says for us to work out our own salvation. I can sit up here and I can teach you and amen, but in the end, you know what it is? It's up to you. It's up to you. It's not what I say will help, I hope, but it's up to you to get in and dig into the Word of God. Now, when I first come to God, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know they was some saying one God, two gods, three gods. I didn't know any of that. I learned that. But also learned by the truth that's in the Word of God, there is but one God. Amen. I learned that. I don't know if you should be born with knowing there's a God. I can't never remember the time that I look back and I said, wow, you mean there's a God? I never had that wow moment. I was born knowing that there was a God, and so are you. And so are you. You're as responsible as I am to get into the Word of God and learn what the truth is. Now, I started getting into the Word of God because of some of the things that man would say. So it just got me confused a little bit, so I got in and learned for myself. Amen. And I learned what I believe to be the right way. And most people understand it too. They just don't believe they have to obey it. But I believe that what God says, God means. And the Word of God will lead us into all truth. God brought the Word of God because of the hardness of men's heart. They wouldn't believe what they saw in the firmaments and everything. So God gave them a Word of God. Now you definitely are without excuse. Psalm 19 and 2 said, day unto day utter speech, night unto night show us knowledge. Amen. God is, He's there. I mean, someone asked, what is the Spirit? He said, it's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. That tells me that God is in the very air that you breathe. Amen. We have the breath of life. A baby's not born until they receive that breath of life. If it never breathed, it would never live. But God breathed. Jesus in one of the scriptures said He breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's an eternal life that God breathes upon us. Amen. When we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, you receive eternal life. We are His. Amen. We are no longer our own. Amen. We are to obey His word. Amen. But the day and tonight, other speech. Amen. I'm missing three here somewhere, but I'll get to it. Okay. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That's verse 19, Psalms 19 and 3. But and 2, it says, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night utter showeth knowledge. There's no language. God broke all language barriers. When I go outside and I look up into the firmament, I see the same thing that the Greek sees. I see the same thing that the French see. I see the same thing that all of them see. So I'm without excuse. I can't say, well, I didn't understand the language. And that's the same way with the Word of God. You're without excuse. And if you ask God, He'll show you. If you lack understanding, ask of God, He'll give it to you. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, He'll give it to you. But if you're going to lean to your own wisdom instead of His, then He can't give it to you. Amen. Romans 1 and 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. You have all you need to begin your worship with God. You have the very firmness that declare Him. That's His celestial robe, if you will. Amen of God. We can see God in His handiwork. We can see Him in His brightness, in His glory. Amen. By just looking upward or just waving your hand. Here's life. This all this life. Nothing lives without the air I breathe. God is in the air. Amen. But He wants you to have more than that. He wants you to have eternal life. Romans verse 20. And being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, we are without excuse. Nobody has any excuse. Amen. Nimrod, for whatever reason, he decided to go his own way. Amen. God confounded all the languages, amen, to put a halt to whatever it was that Nimrod was headed for. Amen. But there's one language he didn't change. That's his language. We still all understand his language. We still can look into the firmaments. We can see what God has. So we can't say, I didn't understand. We have this word that started out in the Hebrew and the Greek, but now it's in English where we can read it. So we are without excuse. If you want to just believe a little bitty bit, because it makes you feel good not to believe the rest, amen, God has all of these things for you. Amen. But He's broken all language barriers. Nimrod was kind of like the scientist is today. They want to see proof. God gave them the proof, all the proof they needed. Just look up into the heavens and see His handiwork. The Bible says, man, the more they learn, the more they don't know. Forever growing and knowledge and never receiving the truth. Man has a lot of knowledge today. Man wants to prove to you how all of this is, but you know they haven't done it yet. They never will do it because there's always something missing. It's like the missing link. There's always something missing. That's what scientists always have trouble with. They get to a brick wall that they can't get past. That's because God has only gave them so much knowledge and that's it. But in 1 Corinthians 12 and 2, said, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. You know, everybody's lives is formed by influential people. That's what Nimrod was. He was an influential person. People looked up to him. He was a mighty man. And that's what man wants to see today. We want to see a mighty man. Well, I want to see the mighty God. Because a mighty man is not as mighty as he thinks he is. He's just self-serving. He's just looking at himself. Amen. But Abraham, he believed God and he worshiped God. That's why God is used a lot of times, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, he was the one true God among all those other gods. And in Acts 17 and 22, I got to hurry here. It talks of the unknown God. Acts 17, 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. See, Nimrod made it all the way to the book of Acts. He made it all the way to today, too. I guarantee you that. We got more idols today than they ever thought of. You need to study and find out what those are. Amen. Verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotion, see, they're going to worship something. Even if it's not the truth in God, they're going to worship something. You'll either worship the things of this world, mammon and all the things that it offers you. Money has power. They have a billion and something. This thing, you buy the car, the ticket. What was that? lottery tickets. 1 billion. 600 million. You could get everything that you could ask God for, but salvation. Money won't buy you the Holy Ghost. And that's the main thing that we're here for in this day, in this hour, is to receive eternal life, to find our way back to God from where we left. And we find that in the Word of God. He says, As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscriptions of the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. A lot of people worship God ignorantly. If you're not getting into the Word of God, chances are you're worshiping ignorantly. I just hope that you have found your first works to be right. Amen. As the Bible says, to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul, he addressed idolatry. Amen. He come right out and told him, you know, say you worship this unknown God that you have. You worship God ignorantly because you don't know much about him. You know, when I come to God, I knew of God. I knew that there was a God. And I knew that there was a God that would save me if I would ask him. But all the other things, I didn't know anything about. Then I grew in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I learned who God was. Amen. Through his word. Now, the idols of the heart, and I've just got a little bit of time here. I've got 5 minutes. Now, you can have idols in your heart. You can be sitting right out here before me. Amen. Did you ever sit out there wishing the preacher would just shut up? Because you had something in your heart that you wanted to do? Now, back in when I first got in, they hollered about Bonanza all the time because people wouldn't come to church on Sunday night because Bonanza was on. That was their idol. Amen. They put that before God. God will bless you. He'll bless you in all that you do. But he'll bless you according to how you look at him. I'll show you. Ezekiel 14:1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Now these people, they come right on in the church and sat down to listen to Ezekiel. And verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his... I don't trust them pads they use up here. I just all the time be afraid they go off. But anyway, let me start over again then. Verse 4, therefore... Speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth a stumbling block before his iniquity, before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. We don't hear nothing from God. Check out your heart. Bible says, it said, examine yourself, see if you even be of the faith. Check out your heart and see where it's at. Amen, because we can only serve God one way, and that's in spirit and in truth. Amen, people want just a little bitty bit of God. Well, according to this, that's all they're going to get. And he's going to reward you according to your idols, the things that supersede the things of God. I don't think that's any better way to put it than the things that supersede the things of God. When you decide not to pray, what's causing that? Probably something superseding that. Amen. If you fail to show up at church, why is that? Because something supersedes that. And that's what he's saying. He said, the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. You know, most people, if they think if they give God just a little bit of praise, They've done great. They think that God is sure going to like me now. I gave him 15 seconds. And that's it. But God wants, he wants our all. I'm not talking about your salvation. Don't go out here and say, Brother Kellum said I wasn't saved. That's between you and God. I just tell you what the Word of God says, that after you're saved, that how you should grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, Paul said, I still got to feed you milk. He said, you should, by this time, be receiving meat. And he said, all I can give you is milk. You know why? Because you'll be offended. Amen. We want things to hurry up and so I can get to my next place. And these idols of their hearts, I have a sister-in-law, and I know she's not going to listen to this, but she has a room, a shrine, if you will, that she dedicates completely to Elvis Presley. She's got all of, now he's dead, but he's still an idol in the heart. See, what are we holding close to our heart than we are God? What supersedes the things of God? And you say, well, God knows I got to make a living. Yes, he does know you have to make a living. Everybody else that ever served God had to make a living. We all have to make a living. But we don't want to put these things before God. And money is the biggest thing because all the idols come after money. The love of the money is the beginning of evil. Amen. So the money is the beginning, but we buy all of these things. Amen. We have all of these things. Pretty soon all of these things supersede God. We count them more important than we do God. And my time is up, 15 till, so I don't ever go over the time. If you don't get it, I quit. I'm sure if you ain't got it by now, you're not going to get it if I stay up here 15, 20 more minutes. Well, Lord bless you. I hope that everybody got something out of this. And if Brother Wells will come, I'll turn it over to you.
'Tis so sweet to trust.
Why don't you stand this morning? First, the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Just a few moments, our classes are going to be returning. Can we find a place to pray? Lord, help me to put you first. That you are priority number one of my life, that I would seek first your kingdom. That your will would matter to me more than anything else in life. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'm so glad.